listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Matt Blankenship delivers a message about being evangelical in our everyday lives. Here's Pastor Matt.
Well, good morning, everyone, and let me extend another welcome to Portland Christian Center if you're new or maybe coming back from after being away from us for a while. We're sure glad that you are here with us today. Welcome. Anybody enjoy a fantastic spring break this last week? Did anybody get away and want to do anything exciting? Enjoy the sun? It's super quiet in here. Okay, never mind. Never mind on the spring break thing then. I had a great spring break. That's really the reason I was asking, so that I could just tell you. Well, the title of today's message is How Will They Hear? Time for Show and Tell. Who remembers Show and Tell when they were a kid? Anybody? Okay, it's okay. Get a little more interactive here. You can put your hand up. It's all right. Show and tell. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We're going to get there in just a moment as we talk a little bit about show and tell. So I was thinking about show and tell and remembering what it was like when I was a kid. And then I remembered for my boys, show and tell, what it would be like. And I was thinking, well, if my boys had a show and tell, they would probably bring their favorite stuffed animals. This one is Hunter's. This one is Hayden's. This one took a little more work for me to get. I asked him last night, could I use one of your stuffed animals for show and tell tomorrow? And Hayden was like, no. You know, I was like, really? And then this morning, he brought it up to me and he kind of came to me in the hallway and he was like, here, Daddy. You know, it's really nice. It's kind of this is kind of a little Lion King moment, isn't it? Anybody with me on this? So this is Reggie, the golden retriever, named after Reggie, our next door neighbor's golden retriever. Hayden is a very creative stuffed animal name giver. We got this in the Grand Canyon, and this is Mouth the Cougar. Yeah, you heard it right, Mouth. Yeah, so the boys love Mouth. So what would you do at show and tell? You would bring your favorite thing, right? You bring your favorite little stuffed animal or toy, your most prized possession maybe. And you would show it, you would tell about it, and then you kind of rotate through the class. Everyone would bring their thing. And then I got to thinking, why did we ever stop doing that? You know, like, why did we stop taking naps in school? That's a horrible thing. Like, we could definitely use some naps in the office. And then why did we stop doing show and tell? So I thought, well, if we did adult show and tell, what would we do? What would I show? And I thought, well, I'd bring one of my favorite things. So I decided to bring something today for show and tell. And it is my chop saw. So what do? Well, I don't play with stuffed animals anymore. I cut and make stuff. So who here has never used a compound miter saw or a chop saw before? Never used it. Who's never used one? I need a volunteer who's never used a chop saw before. Someone, yeah, go ahead, right there. Come on up from our youth group. Here, give her a hand. Yeah, come on up. So in my show and tell, we get to interact together. That's how we, because I make the rules, right? So here, come on. Tell us all your name.
Lindsay.
All right, this is Lindsay, everyone. Give Lindsay another hand. Lindsay. All right, it works. Okay, Lindsay, this is the chop saw, all right? Here's how it works when it comes down and it just cuts stuff in half like that. So you're going to chop something today, but I'm going to help you, all right? Okay. This is going to be a memorable church service for you. All right, so I'm going to hold on to this because you're a rookie. So don't put your hands anywhere down here. But what I want you to do is with your right hand, I want you to grab this handle right there. And I want you just to give a little squeeze. Get a feel for it. Yeah, okay. But now that you're friends, now you're acquainted, so what I want you to do is grab it, hold it, and slowly bring it down all the way through this wood. Come on, bring it down. That's right. Keep it going. Keep going. Yes. Well done. Use that to be a paperweight or something. Yeah, there you go. All right. So everyone give her a hand one more time. Good job. Show and tell. Show and tell is fun. See, there's things we need to bring back from our childhood. My kids, in their show and tell back in California, just before I moved here, they didn't actually call it show and tell. They called it sharing time. And every Friday was sharing day. And you'd get to take whatever you wanted and bring it to school. And it would be sharing day. And I kind of like that a little bit better than show and tell. It's basically the same thing. But I like sharing day as a title and a concept because it's more than just, I'm going to bring my favorite thing and show you. And it's more than just, I'm going to bring my favorite thing and tell you about why it's my favorite thing. It also is, well, I'm going to bring my favorite thing and I'm going to share it with my class. I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to bring my most prized possession, and then you're going to bring your most prized possession, and together we're going to enjoy those things together. We're going to share them. And as we just finished a series on the mission of the church, and what is the mission of the church? That we'd go into all the world, that we'd proclaim the gospel, that we would share the news of Jesus with everyone, and then, of course, Scripture says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that as we come to the end of that series, I really would like to bookend that series, dwelling on the responsibility that each and every one of us have as Christians to be the sharers. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's sharing day. Being saved is certainly not simple from a spiritual perspective, but God made it simple for us. How complex it must be to move someone from darkness to light, from death to life, to take all of their shortcomings, all of the ways that we've messed up, all of the ways that we've fallen short of God's perfection, all the ways we've hurt others and we've hurt God, and to forgive and to wipe that slate clean. How complicated must that be in the spiritual realm? And yet, God made it so simple for us that we can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. In fact, Romans 10:9, you're already open to Romans 10, look over to verse 9. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, come on, if I believe that and then I say that, I'll be saved? That is amazing. That is great news. That is the good news. That is the gospel. Who is it for? It's for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Look over at Romans 10:13, just a couple verses later. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, if it's so simple, if it's so amazing, why aren't more people saved? Why is it that there are so many around us who are lost? Well, to boil it down, I think, again, to something simple, one would have to come to the conclusion that it comes down to a person's choice. We make a lot of choices. We make choices about where to eat. We make choices about who to be friends with. We make choices about where to go to school and where to buy a home and where to go to church. We make a lot of choices. We make good choices. Sometimes we make bad choices. I was reminded of some of these bad choices just the other day as I was browsing through bad choices on my web browser. So bring up a couple of those bad choices, guys. What could possibly go wrong in these bad choices? Well, of course, you have the guy angle grinding into the oxygen tanks or whatever's going on there. That seems like a bad idea. My favorite is the dude down here using his buddy's back as a sawhorse for his skill saw. That seems like a bad idea. And then, of course, you have the guys moving. Like, don't take the stairs. Just pass that couch down to me. What could go wrong? And, of course, the dude's got his shirt off because every good disaster needs a guy with a shirt off right before it happens. I think there's another one. What else do we have here of bad choice? Oh, yeah, this guy's got a golf ball and tee ready to go for a little tee off here. Probably not a good idea. What's the next one? I think it's a close. Oh, yeah, it's a close-up of our friends moving the couch. Outstanding, guys. Well, the point is that we make choices that determine our outcomes. And when we're talking about the choice of salvation, it's the most important choice of all. When we make our choice, really, it makes us. When we make a choice about salvation, it determines our destiny. When you make a choice about salvation, it doesn't just determine what happens to you today, it determines what happens to you for all eternity. And on that note, it made me think about one of our greatest points of celebration where we talk about Jesus the most, and that is on Easter Sunday. Easter is coming, which made me think a lot about the choices that people make when it comes to Easter. For many, it starts as the choice, well, which church am I going to go to? Where am I going to go with my family? And then of the church I go to, what service am I going to go to? And then after that service, where are we going to do and what's our plan for family lunch? Because family lunch is kind of a big part about Easter. What dress am I going to wear? I mean, rhetorically, like not what dress am I going to wear, but you get what I'm saying. How am I going to dress up my children? What are we going to do with grandma and grandpa? Where are we going to eat? Where am I going to take my pictures? And while those are all important choices, they pale in comparison to what's really important about Easter. And that is, what will people do with Jesus? And I just want to take a moment as we start the message today to set some important perspective for us as a church. I want to remind you that Easter's not about lilies, lunches, and lollipops. Those are a part of the day, maybe. It's not about just the family gathering, and it's not about enjoying pastels and spring blooms. It's not just a big religious holiday. Easter is about celebrating the greatest event to ever happen in the history of mankind. I mean, think about that. And on April 21st, we're celebrating the greatest event. Yes, you can clap for the greatest event that ever happened to the history of mankind. I mean, what happened nearly 2,000 years ago that still today we would celebrate every year? It's that Jesus Christ would not stay dead, but he rose from the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He took the keys to death so that we could have eternal life. I mean, we come to Easter every year and we celebrate Jesus's resurrection, but we don't just celebrate it. We also leverage that day to the fullest extent possible so we can tell other people about Jesus Christ. What's one of our jobs as a church on Easter? What's your job on Easter? To tell other people about Jesus Christ. We leverage it all the way. And it's on that topic that I want to talk to you about today as we look at Romans 10. And I want you to go ahead and now look over at Romans 10, 14. The choice to be saved is a choice that you have to make. And maybe as you're hearing today, or maybe as you're watching online, you haven't made that choice yet. And I want to say that as you listen today, allow God to speak to your heart. Whether you're in this room or you're watching on a computer or a TV screen, this is a choice that you will never forget, and certainly you would never regret. I know that from Scripture. If you look just back at Romans 10, 11, it says, Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. You know, if you're contemplating this today, let me just tell you, you're in a room full of people that are more glad about their decision to follow Jesus Christ than any other decision, any other choice in their life. I mean, if you are glad that you have accepted Jesus and you follow Jesus in this room, I want you to give me a hearty amen. 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 You hear that? That's volume. You might have heard that online. There are people here, most of us in this room, we love Jesus. We don't regret serving Jesus at all. And if you're considering making that choice today to believe in Jesus, know that you'll never regret that. Well, what does it take for someone to call on the name of the Lord, to be saved, as Paul is putting it here? Paul answers this in a series of four rhetorical questions. So if you're taking notes, let's look at those four questions. The first one is this: how can they call unless they believe? So write this down in your notes. Number one, how can they call unless they believe? Romans 10, 14, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And the answer is, of course, that they can't. This thing has to start with belief. And in fact, we know that salvation for us, salvation for everyone, starts with belief. In fact, this is one of the kinds of special faith that God gives us. As you read through the Bible, I think it's important to know the details of Scripture. One of the details of Scripture is that there's a few different kinds of faith that are talked about in the Bible. So you may be new to church today, you may be new to the Bible, or just to this Christianity thing in general, and you hear that word faith a lot here at church, you hear it all through Scripture, and there are really three different kinds of faith in Scripture that are talked about. And so as a little bit of a side lesson as we're talking about belief, let me just go over those with you. So the first is this: there's saving faith, and I find that right here in Romans 10, 14. So three types of faith in Scripture. One is saving faith. And what's being talked about here in Romans 10 is a faith given to us by God for the specific purpose of believing in him. This is a faith that is given to someone who does not yet believe. And how amazing is this? How like God that he requires us to have faith so that we'd believe in the first place. And then he goes and he gives us that faith so that we then in turn can believe. What an amazing God. He's helping us all along the way. So there is a saving faith, and that's what's being talked about here in Romans 10, 14. They need to believe. There's also a serving faith. So write this in your notes, serving faith, and I find this in Romans 12, 3. And in Romans 12, Paul's talking about a measure of faith that God has given to us. Maybe you're familiar with the Scripture and you've read that each one is given a different measure of faith. What's this measure of faith given for? It's given so that you can develop your service within the church. This is the faith that is being used to serve on the dream team. Paul goes on to talk about gifts that God gives us to serve. And we covered that quite a bit in a message about a month ago. But really, we cover this extensively every month in Grow Track. So if you haven't been to Grow Track yet, as Pastor Chip talked a little bit about in our announcements, we really want to encourage you to go. Go to the 9 o'clock hour right across the hall. And week one for Grow Track starts next Sunday. And in Grow Track, we spend a whole week talking about your gifts, you discovering those gifts and developing those gifts so that you would serve in the church. This is God's plan, his design, that there would be a serving faith activated to then serve his people. You serve him by serving his people. And then Paul goes on to say that because we all have these gifts, we all need to use them. So God gives you a measure of faith and he wants you to use it to serve. There's also a supernatural faith, number three. And I find this in 1 Corinthians 12:9. Here there's a list of gifts that are given by God's Holy Spirit for supernatural ministry, and faith is one of them. This would be the kind of supernatural faith that might well up within you as you're doing ministry. Let's say you're praying for someone and they're sick and they need to be healed and you're praying for them and all of a sudden you really feel like, man, I could pray anything right now and I really think it would be done. And you're not praying like, God, hey, if it's your will, maybe you could heal this person of some cancer or whatever's going on. You say, no, God, I pray you would heal this person of cancer. I pray you would take it away completely. I pray you'd blow the mind of doctors and family members and that this person would be completely and totally healed. That might be a supernatural faith that God is putting on you in that moment. And there are times where faith is one of the gifts listed, but there are several supernatural gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 that God will put upon someone in a ministry moment so that his work could be done more completely. So, back to the point at hand, we need some faith. How do we call on the name of the Lord? Well, first we have to believe. How do we get to that point of belief? Well, there has to be someone that gives the good news. And that leads us to step number two, which is how can they believe without hearing? Romans 10:14b, how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? I like the way the message puts this. And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? A person needs to hear about the one who can be trusted. And I really like that translation. And if you're listening or watching online today, I want you to know this. Jesus can be trusted. Jesus can be trusted with your smallest of things or with your biggest of things. You may have had trust issues in the past because of a mom or a dad or a family member or a friend or a teacher or someone who violated trust, but I want to tell you today that Jesus has never, will never violate your trust. You can trust Jesus completely. Someone needs to tell someone else about the one who can be trusted. And this is a great rhetorical question because it's obvious and it's designed to be that way. Paul is taking us on this question-answer journey within ourselves that leads us really to the next two points. So how can they believe without hearing? Well, next, it's how can they hear unless someone tells them? Number three, write in your notes, how can they hear unless someone tells them? We need belief, we need to hear it, and we need to be told. Romans 10:14, at the end of that verse, it says, how can they hear unless someone tells them? This is God's plan, that people would go and that people would preach. And here is where you come in. God gives us faith to believe, so there are hearers, and then there have to be talkers. How many of you would say, I'm not much of a talker, I'm kind of a quiet person? You're even having trouble putting your hands up right now because you're the quiet person, right? It kind of makes sense. You're like, raise your hand if you hate raising your hand. And how many of you would say, I'm like the life of the party. I love talking. I'm okay with that. Go ahead. Yeah, put it up. Let us see who you are. Now, how many of you know the person next to you should have raised their hand just now for being the talker in the relationship? Yeah, there we go. We're sellouts all around here. I like it. Here's the thing. No matter who you are, what your personality is, what your gift mix is, God has a plan for you to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Sure, there are those that God has called for more telling en masse. In Ephesians 4:11, it says there are some who are called to be evangelists, some who are pastors, and some who are teachers. So there are some, like the pastor or like a teacher or an evangelist, who are called and gifted to tell a lot of people and to do a great job at it. But I would suggest to you that the telling that's talked about here is not reserved for a specific classification of people. There are those who are called to do it in mass, but every one of us as a believer is called to be a teller, is called to be a sharer. Where do we find this? Well, John 20:21. Again, he said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So here's Jesus. He's talking to his followers. And he says, "The Father sent me, now I am sending you." There's another place where Jesus is talking really to a lot of his followers, and this is really applicable to us. Matthew 28:18-20. We looked at this last week, and I want to look at it with you again and just go through a couple of bolded words here. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go." So this is the first part of that command. Go. We all need to go. "And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It's a sign of health in a church when we are baptizing people on a regular basis, because that means disciples are being made. This is a command of Jesus. This is why we're baptizing on Easter Sunday morning. And after Easter, we're baptizing once a month on the second Sunday of every single month, because we count on people coming to know the Lord, and then their first step of obedience after that is that they should be baptized. And so we're going to be faithful to make disciples. If you follow God and you have not yet been baptized, I want to encourage you, sign up and get baptized on Easter Sunday morning. You can choose the 9 o'clock service or the 11 o'clock service. And if you want to have the best Easter you have ever had, come get baptized here on a Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. It's going to be incredible. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord. If it's been 20, 30, 40 years, you say, "Hey, I've never been baptized." Don't be embarrassed by that. Just make the right choice now. Just say, "I'm going to be obedient, God. This is it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in the hot tub in front of everybody. It's all good. Don't worry about it." Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. There's going to be new disciples. It's on us to teach them. That's another reason we do Grow Track every week. We want to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Interesting thing about the crowd that Jesus is addressing here in Matthew 28, most scholars believe this is the crowd that Paul was referencing in 1 Corinthians 15, and he said this was a crowd of about 500 in number. So Jesus reappeared to people after his resurrection. He appeared to some small groups of people, to some singles, to some doubles, to his apostles. Here, he appears to a crowd of 500 followers. So you would have had the earliest and most rudimentary of believing Christians, those who are just getting started, all the way up to his most devoted apostles. And I read something when I was studying this, and some believe that because of the different ways that Jesus appeared to people, and one of the verbs that's used here, that Jesus actually like floated over a lake to come and get to these people. So I don't 100% know if that's true. There's some speculation, but can you imagine, you know, you're all out there waiting for Jesus, and like here he comes, like just floating over the water. Jesus did appear to people in a lot of cool ways when he was resurrected. He walked through walls. He just appeared. He pretended to be a gardener, and then he wasn't. Hey, who knows? Could have been a lot of ways. But he appears to this crowd, which is roughly the size of the crowd that's in the sanctuary right now. This is more than apostles. It's a large crowd of disciples. So Jesus appears, and he says to his church, we could call this Jesus's first church plant. He's getting ready to launch the church plant. And he says, "Go, baptize, and teach. Tell people about me. Live for me and tell people about me." In other words, go and make more disciples. And hey, if you're nervous about that, don't be, because I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. What did Pastor Ray say last week? I loved it so much. Jesus is there before you, he's there with you, and he's there after you leave. Right? That's the promise, that he's with you. This is the plan. It's always been the plan, that everyone in the church would tell everyone they can about Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. Now look, we'll do some things as an organization to invite people here and tell people about Jesus. Let's talk specifically about Easter. So we threw a banner down there. You probably saw it coming in today. And some flags. We want to attract some attention up here on the hill. But that does not release each of us from the responsibility of telling people about Jesus and inviting them to come here on Easter Sunday morning. Why you? Because there are some people that you have access to that the preacher never will have access to. There are some people that the podcast won't reach, but you will. There are some people that no one else on this planet will have that moment with, but you will. God has chosen you. He has sent you. You have to go. And as you go not only with the confidence that Jesus is with you personally through his Holy Spirit, but you know that you're bringing the best news that that person has ever or will ever hear. Think about that for a moment. You're bringing the good news, the best news, the life-changing news of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look here, skip ahead to Romans 10:15, the second part of the scripture, 10:15b, and look what it says. That is why scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Look at your neighbor and just say, you have beautiful feet. You guys are a little more responsive than first service. They wouldn't even do it. First service was like, I'm not doing that. Why? Because feet are not like super beautiful. In fact, I thought about, you remember about a month ago, I put a picture up there of my hand with the mustard seed in it. And then when I saw my hand up close on that big screen, I was like, oh, my hand's kind of hideous. You know, like that's not a hand model, right? Like not in this guy's future. And then I thought, man, if I put a foot up there, no one's blessed by that. Like that is not going to help anything. So what's Paul talking about here? Well, Paul is referencing a passage of scripture in Isaiah 52. And he's talking about a time in Israel's history where they were in captivity. But then in Isaiah 52, there was a prophecy that they would someday be out of captivity. And how does the news get spread? There's no social media, there's no internet, there's no phones, there's no satellites. And so what did they have? They had these messengers, a herald who would run down from the mountaintops and run through the streets and run through the shops and run through the countryside and run through the city center and say, we're free! We're free from tyranny. God's people are free again. And what would happen? Everyone would get all excited. The whole city, the whole town, the whole countryside, joy would collectively start to well up inside of them. And then what's one of their natural responses? They look at the messenger, and everything about that messenger is beautiful, especially his feet, because the feet did the running. The feet brought the messenger and brought the news that they were now free. This is the context that people would have understood as they listened to this scripture, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. You are a beautiful-footed messenger in God's eyes. And you can be a beautiful-footed messenger in the eyes of everyone you bring that message to. What's the idea for us? It is that as we run through our streets, our towns, our offices, our homes, our circles of influence, and we tell people this good news. The news is so good that when they accept it, they say, wow, thank you. That's the greatest news I've ever heard. Someone you bring this Easter will say, thank you. That's the best news I've ever heard. Nobody forgets the person that told them about or led them to Jesus. Do you remember the person that led you to Jesus, who told you about Jesus? I do. I'll never forget. That may be you. It should be you that someone will never forget. And it's not to say that it's about you, but in Scripture it makes it clear that the messenger is an important part of that message. So to call on Jesus, someone needs to believe. They need to hear it from us. Well, who will tell them and how will they go unless they are sent? And that is number four. How will anyone go unless they are sent? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? In the message it says, and how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? Here's the fun part for me as one of your pastors is that I get to send you. I'm going to ask our musicians to come up at this point and start to play. As we wrap up a mission series, a missions month of March, today could be called Sending Sunday. Yeah, there are those that we send too, right? Like we just did that through our giving. We're sending people and we're giving so that Convoy of Hope can be sent to give relief to the cyclone in Southeast Africa. We are sending Pastor Ray and Linda through the Petros Network to make a huge difference. In fact, just as an update for you, since we're all very invested in this. Pastor Ray sent me an update last night. Now, let me show you this. So the picture on the right is a church, and in the church, there were supposed to be 100 pastors that came to learn how to be church planners and good pastors, and that was Pastor Ray's job, was to teach them that just, I think, a day or two ago. And so 100 were supposed to show up, and 230 showed up instead. Yeah, 230 men and women who would say, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to go be a church planner. Will you help me? Will you teach me? And this is taking place at this church, Cockerill Worship Center. And some of you may remember this, that this is a church plant from Portland Christian Center. And look right there. There's Portland Christian Center's logo on the left-hand side. Right on that sign, it says a thanks to Portland Christian Center and to the Petros Network. So, yeah, we send a lot. That's a big part of what we do. But that doesn't excuse us from ourselves being sent. It is part of the picture. It's part of the plan. But what's the A game that we would go and that we would tell? That we would tell everyone that we have a chance to and come in contact with and have influence with about Jesus Christ. We are sending today. We're also going to be ourselves sent today. Look at Romans 10, 15b again, this time in the message. We'll put it up on the screen for you there. That is why Scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away. There's an exclamation point there. It's a sight to take your breath away. Grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. Portland Christian Center, that should be us. We are a grand procession of people, and we should be telling about the good things of God. The grand procession of people telling all the good things that God has done for us to everyone around us. And that's why this Easter, we are resourcing you to be a part of the grand procession. Like I said, we're going to do our part as an organization to get the word out, but the A game, the best plan, God's plan, is that you get the word out about Easter and you tell people about Jesus. You've been, no doubt, thinking and praying for three people, maybe more, to come and get saved here on Easter Sunday, or maybe just people that you're going to lead to the Lord. You recognize this. We've been talking about these bookmarks for 2 weeks now. They came out last week. They're out again this week. And this is a bookmark to promote Easter, but more importantly, on the back, there are these three little spots to write down some names and say, I'm going to pray for this person, and this person, that they would come to know Jesus, and they'd come to know Jesus right here on Easter Sunday. And then after today, this week, we're going to be preparing a tool for you to invite those people. So you've got three people here. We're going to give you three invite tools, and there'll be more, but it's going to start with three. And what we have here is we have this little carabiner that we've ordered. It says pcctoday.com on it. And you can clip it onto your clothes to help, you know, keep it right in front of you. This looks good, right? This is a new style. And I'll clip it to see if my beard's long enough yet. No. So you've got a carabiner, and on it are going to be a couple of invites. There's an invite specifically for what's going on for our kids. There's an invite in general with a map on it for what goes on for Easter. And there'll be another invite coming in this week that we attach to it. So it's going to have three unique and specific invites. And we're going to give these to you next week. The next 2 weeks, we're going to have them out. They're going to be a little bag. There's going to be three of them in there. And what's the idea? That you have these three people you've been praying for and that you would go invite these three people. If they're not in the area and you're just praying for them in general, find some more people. But the point is that you would take these and you would go use them to give to someone and to invite them to Easter. It's got something for their family. It's got something for them personally. It answers a bunch of questions. And it's a great tool for you because when you're having a conversation about what's going on around here for Easter, you can just read it right off the card, but maybe read it ahead of time so you look like you know what you're talking about. But this is a great way for you to invite people to Easter. And we want to put this in your hands. We want you to be the sent. You to be the ones who are telling people about Jesus, inviting them to come here this Easter. And as a little bit of a side note on this, we're going to put all these together this week. And so we need a little bit of help with this, all right? If you think about it, you know, we're going to clip like 3 invitations to every one of these, and we're going to make thousands of them. So it's going to be a party. But if you are able later this week to do that, I don't know exactly when it's going to be. We're waiting for some supplies to come in. Just take a connection card in the pew back in front of you and use that event spot. Write down your name and your phone number. That's all you'll need. And we'll contact you and we'll say, hey, here's the day we're doing it. Would you come help us? So if you're interested in doing that, we'd appreciate it. You know, my neighbor came to me the other day, just from a couple houses down the street, and said, hey man, the next time you do something big at the church, let me know, and I'll bring my whole family. Are you kidding me? Like, served up on a silver platter? Hey, I'll come, just invite me. And you know how many people are not saying that in your life, but fully believing it in their hearts? How many neighbors do you have? How many family members and friends and coworkers and shop owners and your barista? How many of those people, in their heart, they would say the same thing? Man, if they'd ask, I'd go. And so, yeah, you're going to see my neighbor and their family here. I'll tell you that much. But there are those that are thinking the same thing, and they just haven't said it to you yet. If you'll invite me, I'll come. There are great statistics on that. I don't even know the number, but I know it's really high, that people, if they're asked, they'll come. Most people say, if you ask me, I will come. The problem is not with the hearer, it's sometimes with the talker. A Pew study came out this week, and I think it said, is it 46%, Pastor Chip? 47% of, I think it was millennial believers, right? 47% of those in a millennial age group think it's wrong to actually go out and evangelize. 47%, that's huge. And I want to tell you, we'll just correct that right here and now, that not only is that super wrong, but it's a total neglect and ignoring what Scripture says and makes plain and clear that we are the sent. We are the ones who are supposed to go. And so I want to leave you today with a great challenge, that you would take these as they come out in the next couple of weeks and you would use them all up. That we would just run out and have no more because of how many people we've invited to come and to hear about Jesus Christ and have their life changed forever. I pray that we will be the ones that will bring the good news to people this Easter. I want to ask you to close your eyes and to bow your heads now as we would close and end our service today. The most important choice, as mentioned earlier, is what will you do with Jesus? And in a moment, I want to pray a prayer over this church that God would empower and equip us and embolden us to be great tellers, great teachers and preachers of the word. But before I do that, I want you to have the opportunity to make that choice, if you have not yet today made that choice, to believe in and to follow Jesus Christ with your life. It could be that you've never made that choice, or maybe you did a long time ago and you've walked away from the Lord. But today, God's working on your heart. His Spirit is speaking to you. You feel it in your body. There's no other way to explain it, but you're just maybe a little bit uneasy. And God is tugging on your heart because he wants you to know him, to know him better. He knows you. He loves you. He wants you to know him. How do I do it? Well, Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart today, yeah, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died for me and that you rose from the dead, and then you confess it, you openly declare it, you say it, Scripture says that you're saved. And you could do that this morning by saying a very simple prayer. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray it myself. And if you would say, yeah, I need to say that prayer. I need to believe. I want to believe. I do believe. I want to know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him. You could just say this prayer right where you're sitting. And not, don't be embarrassed. Just, you could have your head down. You could say it under your breath. You could declare, believe in your heart, declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You could say a simple prayer like this to come to know Jesus today. Jesus, thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for living a perfect life with no failures, no sins. So, and thank you for dying on a cross at the end of that life. You died on that cross in my place. And I believe that. I believe you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me for my shortcomings, my failings, the way I've hurt you, the way I've hurt others. Would you forgive me of my sin? And Lord, I want to live for you. I believe in you, and I want to live a life that honors you. Will you help me to do that? Will you make me a Christian? I hope to one day and look forward to one day being in heaven with you in eternity in your presence. If you said a prayer like that today with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask one thing as kind of a faith activator and so that I can pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up? No one's looking around, but say, yeah, I said that prayer today, either for the first time or a time again in my life. Would you put your hand up? Okay, I see your hand there in the back. Thank you. You can put it down. I see your hand over to my left, your right. Is there anyone else who would say, yeah, that's me, Pastor Matt? Okay, I see your hand there right in front of me. And I see some hands in the balcony too. Thank you. You guys can put your hands down. You would say, yeah, Pastor Matt, that's me. I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to live my life for him. To those of you that raised your hand today, I want to tell you, as said earlier, you will never regret turning your life to Jesus Christ. And to welcome you into your new faith and to walk you through that, I just want to encourage you, come and start coming to Grow Track with us. Come next week, 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about believing. We're going to talk about more of the depths of what it is to believe and to follow Jesus Christ. Let's start a discipleship journey together. Come up and say hi to one of us as pastors afterwards. We'd sure love to know that you said that prayer and that you are a follower of Christ, or maybe you rededicated your life today. We love you and want you to know that God loves you.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.